I remember going to Disneyland, and I hate those scary rides. I don't know if some of you like them. There was this one, the kids from our church said, Pastor, you need to go up to this one. It's like, I think it's called a Tower of Terror or something like that. It's straight from hell. No, I said, I'm not going. They said, you're a pastor. God is with you. I said, no, he's not. Not up there. They said, really? No, he's with you always. I said, no. The Bible says, lo, I'll be with you always. Not high.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, an Easter message from Pastor Wayne. He'll be focusing on two very important words from Jesus following the resurrection. Fear not. Jesus said, fear not, for lo, I am with you always. That means today, and the message is for you. Here now is Pastor Wayne.
Good morning and welcome to Easter, everybody. The cool thing about what they were dancing about is this. The Bible says that God created us in His image, and one of the parts of His image is His eternal quality. And so you were created to be eternal beings, not like animals or plants. And people were given an eternal quality. The question is, where are you going to spend it? That becomes your choice. God's choice is to give you the quality of eternity. Your choice is where you're going to spend that. You've been given a lifetime in which you make that choice of your forever. For God will not force Himself on anyone. He's given you a beautiful gift called a gift of choice, free choice. Because God doesn't want to make robots. If God made robots where you had to do exactly what He asked you to, then you couldn't have the capability of love, because love requires choice. You cannot love God if you're mandated to love Him. That is not love. It might be duty, but it's not love. And God wanted His children to be in a relationship with Him out of love, for God so loved the world, and He wants that same quality in each and every single one of us. So what God does is He gives us choice. Why? In order that we might have the capability to love or reject love. That's the choice that each of us has. And we had violated that choice so much that God wanted to show us the way. So He came as a guide in the person of Jesus Christ, all God in all man. He wasn't humanly divine. He was divinely made human. And God then became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And even though we, with our choice, rejected and crucified Him, God used that to give us redemption. Can you see the powerful love of God? That He keeps giving us grace upon grace upon grace. And on this resurrection day, we want to celebrate the love of God and the grace of the cross. Can you say amen to that? Well, before we get going, I need to tell you a story about resurrection day. There's this two Hawaiians that love to play jokes on this Portuguese guy. And the two Hawaiians worked in the cemetery, and so they had this brilliant idea. So when they played jokes on this Portuguese guy, they really wanted to play for keeps, you know. So they actually slipped something into his drink that made him pass out cold. And they would constantly play tricks on one another, but this would be the trick of all tricks. Well, this Portuguese guy was out cold. They load him into their pickup, take him to an open graveyard, put him in a coffin, lower him down, and let him be there all night to sleep it off. The next morning, they're laughing. These Hawaiian guys go home. The next morning, the Portuguese guy gets up out of the coffin. He stands up and looks around. He's in a graveyard, and he's thinking, what in the world is going on? All of a sudden, he starts laughing and laughing. He says, praise the Lord. It must be resurrection day, and the Portuguese are the first ones to rise. Well, this is Resurrection Day, and millions around the world are celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ. But even though many will go to church today, I don't want you to miss what this whole day is all about. You know, since I was in college, I had this maybe ghoulish intrigue about walking through graveyards and reading the epitaphs engraved in stone. There are many headstones, some ornate, some simple. But usually it would say, here lies, and then a name. And then they would have some inscription that would describe their life. Some short poems, something short and sweet, or something that would be touching. But there are some that were quite entertaining and even downright comical. Now these, I'm going to give you some examples of actually engraved headstones that these are not just made up. These are from graveyards, and you need to hear these. This first one comes from a Pennsylvania cemetery, and it actually tells us that not only do accidents happen, but this is how this one happened. And it says this: here lies the body of Jonathan Blake. He stepped on the gas instead of the brake. Here's one. Now, this can be taken in one of two ways. You decide. This is April 1831. Now, it says, here lies Major James Brush, Royal Artillery. He was killed by the accidental discharge of a pistol by his orderly. Next line, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This one, I think, is written by his kids of an Appalachian father. It's very simple. It says this: here lies Pa. Pa liked women. Ma caught Pa with two women swimming. Here lies Pa. And this one's very succinct. Must be by a content husband. It says this: here lies my wife. So let her lie. Now she's at rest, and so am I. But the common thing I notice about all these gravestones and epitaphs, they all start with one common phrase: here lies, and then usually the name, the birth date and the day of passing, and then a little quip or quote about them. But I notice how different is the epitaph on the tomb of Jesus Christ. It wasn't engraved in stone. It wasn't engraved in gold. It was spoken by the mouth of an angel. And on the screen and in your notes, you will hear what this angel has to say about the epitaph of Christ. And it says this in Matthew 28. You can read it with me. Go. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. What were the first two words? Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. But he is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. He is not here, he is risen, just as he said. The most important event in human history is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's important to our faith. The Apostle Paul says, if Christ be not raised, then our faith is in vain and we are still in our sins. But he has been raised. In fact, the central theme of the early church was that Jesus Christ, who had been crucified, indeed has been risen from the dead. If Christ's bones were lying somewhere decaying, then our faith would be in vain and the world would be in a hopeless state. But you will never see engraved anywhere, here lies Jesus, because he's not there. He is alive, and he has been alive since that day. Now, often at Easter time, or right before Easter, we have a Good Friday service, and we talk about often the words that Christ said on this side of the cross before he was crucified. Often they say there are seven words that Christ spoke from the cross. And they collected those, and it makes a great meditation. But today I thought, let's take some of the words that were spoken after the cross from the resurrected Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says, after these, he presented himself alive with many convincing proofs, appearing to the disciples over a period of 40 days. It wasn't just some man's fictitious story. But he actually appeared with many convincing proofs. He talked with the people. He had them touch him. He ate with them. Christ would appear again and again. In fact, if we find in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle says that there was one time he had actually appeared to over 500 at one time. And he said, and of those 500, many are still alive. In other words, they can testify and give credence to the fact that Christ was alive. When Christ came and was resurrected, he met people in the garden. He met two on the road to Emmaus. He was by the lakeside with others. He met with the disciples in the upper room twice. He went to the hilltop. He shared their meals. He walked with them and met with them. He met with those that were afraid. He spoke with those that were hopeful. He helped those and counseled those who were doubtful. And he rejoiced with those who were confident. He came to ordinary people just like you and me. So let's take a look at some of the words spoken from this side of the cross that he would say to us today. The first two words, or the very first two words out of the tomb spoken by the angel about this resurrected Christ. And you can write it in your notes. Here he would say to them and to us these same two words. Would you write it down? The first two words is fear not. Fear not. One little girl, the teacher asked this little girl in Sunday school, what were the first two words out of the tomb? She raised her hand. The teacher said, yes. Was it ta-da? She said, no, it's fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Let's read those again. Just those words, fear not. Go. Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, but he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Certainly, this world needs to hear those words from the resurrected Christ today. Fear not. Because today we live in a world that's filled with fear. Every kind of fear. Fears about our economy or jobs or safety. People are concerned about, and there's fears about blood moons. I have more fears about blood pressure right now. Or what's happening in Russia or Syria or the Ukraine. But Jesus says, fear not. Recently, researchers at John Hopkins University reported that 30 years ago, the greatest fears of grade school kids, now listen to this, 30 years ago, here were their top five fears: animals, being in a dark room, high places, strangers, loud noises. Today, same questions were asked. What's your top five fears? Divorce, nuclear war, cancer, pollution, and being mugged. Quite a difference. But you see, people constantly feel that something's going to happen. Something's going to bring it all to a close. And the Lord says, fear not. Because if you know me, there is no close. For I am the Alpha and the Omega. I can turn an ending into a beginning. And he gives them the confidence that he is the author of life, not events and not circumstances. The disciples thought circumstances were going to close in on them. Why, they were in an upper room. They had locked the doors. They'd shut everything, shuttered the windows. They were hiding from the Jews. And Jesus enters the room. Doors were locked. How did he come in? Through the wall. And Jesus himself stood in their midst. And let's read it. It's in your notes. Read it with me. Go. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Stop there. You see, Jesus is constantly saying, peace. Fear not. Because our lives are filled with fears. Will people like me? Will they recognize me? Do I have meaning? We have so many fears in our lives. Let's continue. Go. But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your heart? Jesus spoke to them and said, there's going to be one reason you don't need to fear. And you know what that is? Let's read the next verse. Go. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. He said, don't you worry, I'm going to walk with you. Whatever fear you're facing, mom, remember, you're not raising that daughter or that son alone. Jesus says, I'll be with you. There are so many fears. And the Lord says, if you will draw close to me, I will draw near unto you. And when you catch my presence, the fears will begin to diminish. It will begin to be reduced. The closer you get to me, the further the fears will begin to diminish because of the presence of God, the one who is the answer, the one who created the universe, the one who flung the stars into space. He says, if you'll draw near to me, I'll take care of you. I'll help you and I'll guide you through those narrow passages of life. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. You will fear no evil. Evil's there, but you will not fear evil. Why? Because I am with you. Fears. I remember going to Disneyland, and I hate those scary rides. I don't know if some of you like them, but I don't like, you know, throwing up. And there was this one, the kids from our church said, Pastor, you need to go up to this one. It's like, I think it's called a Tower of Terror or something like that. It's straight from hell. And it takes you up innocently into this huge tower as if they're going to show you all of Disneyland. And they put you in this stupid thing like an elevator, and they have multiple free falls. Just whoom, whoom. It just keeps going. Multiple free falls. And if you think about it, there are multiple free falls, there could be multiple freak outs, multiple throw ups, multiple contusions, multiple deaths. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, they said, come on, Wayne, you can go. No, I said, I'm not going. They said, you're a pastor. God is with you. I said, no, he's not. Not up there. They said, really? No, he's with you always. I said, no, the Bible says, lo, I'll be with you always. Not high. I ain't going up there. Even God doesn't go up there. He's smarter than that. But the Lord says, sure, there's going to be evil in the world, but the closer you draw to me, the evil begins to diminish. I remember going from Palolo Valley. We lived up on Myrtle Street, and I would go into town, and the shortcut would be through the Palolo housing, and I'd always just be so afraid. And I wouldn't go through the Palolo housing, but when my big brother Jerome was with me, I'd walk right through the Palolo housing. Why? Because my brother stay here. It's the presence of another who is able to give you peace in the midst of fear. And Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The closer you draw to him, the more fear diminishes in your life. Does that mean evil is not there? No, it just diminishes because you're close. And the Lord on the resurrected side of the cross would say, now draw near to me. I have opened the doorway so that you can draw near to me. Before that, sin kept you separated from Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And there's several definitions of death. It's not only the cessation of life, it's the separation from life. And he who is life, the God of life, when we have chosen to reject him, there is a space that takes place. And when that happens, fears increase immeasurably. But after the cross, where Christ made that bridge so that you, through receiving him as Lord and Savior, now have an entryway, you have a passageway to draw near to him, then fears begin to diminish. Not because there aren't fears, but because you're in the presence of Christ. Lo, I'll be with you always. Fears begin to diminish. David Livingstone was a famous medical missionary to Africa. After many years, over 30 years of ministering in Africa, he was speaking to a group of university students in Glasgow, in Scotland. And when he arose to speak and address the students, he bore on his body the marks of his African struggles. For over 30 occasions, his life was racked with disease and sickness. His left arm lay limp on his side from an attack of an African lion from which he narrowly escaped just even with his life. And after describing his many trials and tribulations in Africa, he said to the students, "Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all those years of exile among people whose language I didn't understand and among people whose attitude toward me often was uncertain and at times even hostile? Would you like me to tell you what supported me and buoyed me up? It was this," he said, "it was the promise of Jesus, 'Lo, I will be with you always, even unto the ends of the earth.'" And David Livingstone said, "It's upon these words that I staked everything, and Christ never failed me once." What are your fears today? Can I challenge you to draw near to Christ? Because although there will be fears, they can be assuaged and mitigated and reduced as you draw near to Christ. And He opened the doorway, He opened the passageway so that there can be that communion. The choice is now yours. We can either reject and stay away and fight the fears, or just walk closer to Him and say, "Lord, I want to receive You as my Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Redeemer. Would You come into my life?" And everything changes. Fear not. Because there's no fears? No. Because You can draw near to me and I can draw near to You. But that's your choice. Christ made His choice 2,000 years ago. Today is your choice. If you have never come to know Christ, I want to encourage you. I'm asking you to come to know Him. Because everything that He's accomplished on the cross was for a moment just like this. For those who are caught in fear. And Christ says, "Fear not. I'll be with you always." The second word from the risen Christ is this. A lot of us believe, "I believe in God, but I don't know who He is. I've got doubts." Some of you are here and you've got doubts. But God has given to everyone a measure of faith, the Bible says. He's placed eternity in the heart of every man. And there may be many in here who are doubting. You know that God is real, but still you have doubts. Well, if you've got doubts, you're in good company, because there was a disciple whose name was Thomas the Doubter. He was actually a disciple of Christ. And the second word that Christ said not only to Thomas, but He's going to say to you and me, is, would you write it in your notes? You can believe. You can believe.
I believe. I'll obey. I receive all of the joy You have for me. Where You lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to You. I entrust my life to You. I believe. I receive all of the joy You have for me. Where You lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to You. I entrust my life to You. I entrust my life.
You've been listening to an Easter message by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, the message was "Fear Not." On our next program, he'll shift the emphasis to "Doubt Not." where Pastor Wayne will walk us through the life of Doubting Thomas and show us how he converted his doubts to faith. We hope you'll join us.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. God bless you.
Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Dell Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.